Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I love that song. But I rarely get to sing it through. When I hit that refrain, I get a lump in my throat, and I just can't get past that part that says, I will go if you lead me. The first time I heard that song was probably 20 years ago or more. I had sold my practice and I was trying to decide what I was going to do with the rest of my life, and I attended a district convention, and it was one of those experiences that you have maybe once or twice in your life. I felt the very specific call, the nudging, if you will, of the Holy Spirit. It felt like I was led from one person to another to hear what I needed to hear. While there, I met a vicar. He was vicaring out, I think, in Arlington, somewhere out on the Columbia River. And he invited me to come out and spend a Sunday with him in his congregation. And so we went out and spent a Sunday with him. It was that service that I heard this for the first time. They just happened to sing that hymn. I have to tell you, there's been three times in my life when I have felt that tug, what some people might consider to be a call. The first time was when I was between kind of high school graduation and confirmation. In fact, I began my undergraduate education with the intent of going to seminary. And I took 2 years of college German, and it was a really good experience. I can sometimes even communicate with Eva because of that. But in college, there was some difficult times and an emotional breakup, and I kind of rebounded off in another direction. And it was there that I met Anne, and I think that was the thing that I needed to get at that point. That was the person that needed to be part of my life. And for the next 20 years, the Spirit was silent. I didn't hear or feel anything. And then finally, at the age of 47, I was beginning to get more and more dissatisfied with practice. And I began a season of struggle and emotional pain, if you will, and wrestling with God. What is it, Lord, that you want me to do? It was during that time that Ann and I attended a discernment weekend at Wartburg Seminary. And some things there just really bothered me. It just didn't seem right. And so when we got home after a month or so of prayer and discussion and consideration, I decided, just not right now, God, maybe later. And then in 2002, we moved to Corvallis, and we attended several Lutheran churches, and in the process of driving around the community and looking for a home, we drove past Peace Lutheran Church in Philomath, and we attended there the next Sunday, and that was just exactly what we were looking for. I preached there when Pastor Jack went on vacation. I completed his leadership class, and finally was certified for word and service ministry. But sometimes when he was on vacation would be a communion Sunday, and I led those communion services, and I just felt like I needed to have more behind me rather than just that lap class that I had taken. And so when Pastor Metzler came to be the interim pastor at Peace, I jumped at the chance to finish the classes that I needed to become commissioned as a licensed deacon. I was commissioned in June of 2013. In July of 2013, I think it was the last Sunday, maybe July 26th, I sat at my desk and said, Lord, I'm looking for a retirement avocation. In September, I preached here, and the following week, I got a call from Bruce Coleman, and the rest, as they say, is history. Perhaps because of my experience with what I experienced, I'm always interested in how people in the Bible were called. The readings for today are exactly about that, people being called to serve God. In the gospel lesson, Jesus is beginning his ministry, and he calls, first of all, Philip, and then Philip calls Nathanael. Jesus found Philip and simply said to him, "Follow me," and Philip followed. But then Philip tells Nathanael, "We have found the Messiah, the one that we have been reading about in Moses in the Old Testament." Nathanael shows his bigotry, his humanness, some people think he was pouting under that fig tree. And what was his response to being called? "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Indeed, something good could come from Nazareth. And so when he goes to Jesus, Jesus says to him, "This is an Israelite indeed who in whom there is no deceit." This is a guy who is going to tell it like it is and tell people what he believes. But Nathanael says, "How do you know me?" And Jesus said, "I saw you sitting under the fig tree before Philip came and told me." And with that, Nathanael believes, and he says, "Rabbi, you are indeed the Son of God." And he became one of Jesus' disciples. The Old Testament story is the calling of the prophet Samuel. That's part of where this song that we just sang comes from. You remember the story about Samuel. His mother Hannah could not have children, and one of the other wives in the family was harassing her and giving her a bad time because that woman had children and poor Hannah was barren. And so she goes to the temple and prays that God will allow her to become pregnant and have a child. And she promises that if she does, that if God allows her to have a child, she will dedicate that child to God and take him to the temple. Eli, who was the priest, sees her praying off in the corner and thinks she's drunk. And he comes up to her and they have a conversation. And the bottom line is she explains to him the situation. And he says, "May it be with you as you ask, go in peace." And certainly the next year, Samuel is born. And when Samuel is old enough, she takes him to the temple and Eli raises him. And then one night, Samuel is lying there. It sounds, from the description in the Bible, it sounds like it's very early in the morning. Samuel hears someone calling his name. And thinking, "Well, who else is here besides Eli?" He runs to Eli and says, "Yes, here I am." And Eli says, "I didn't call you. Go back to bed." So Samuel goes back to bed and lies down, and he hears his voice again. So once again, thinking that it must be Eli, he runs to Eli and says, "Here I am." And Eli once again says, "No, I didn't call you. Go back to bed." The third time this happens, Eli finally figures out that, gee, this may be God speaking to him. And so he says, "Well, the next time you hear that, I want you to say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant hears.'" So Samuel goes back, lies down, and listens. And God says, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel says, "Speak, Lord, for your servant hears." And Samuel became one of the greatest prophets since Moses. If you think about all of the people that are called in the Bible, and there are several, if you think about it, there's something that they have in common. None of them are rich. None of them are well-educated. None of them are famous. None of them are even religious leaders. They're not even priests. They're plain, ordinary people, just like you and me. Somebody gave me a book called 12 Ordinary Men. It's about the disciples. And in that book, it says of Jesus' disciples, they were all common, ordinary people whose hearts were open to the Spirit of God. They were open to the truth and hungry to know it. They were sincere in their love for God and their desire to know the truth and to receive the Messiah. They were plain, ordinary people, just like you and me. Today, God continues to call people into Christianity. We find this number hard to believe, but 100,000 people a day are converted to Christianity in the world. The growth in India and Africa and in Asia suggests that the number may even be larger than that. And I would wager you that the vast majority of that 100,000 or more people who are converted every day are plain, ordinary people, just like me. Yet God calls them to Christianity. They're not rich. They're not famous. They're not highly educated, just common, ordinary folks who hunger for the Word of God, common, ordinary folks who just want to establish a personal relationship with God. One of the other things that you will notice about the people who are called is that they're all called in a different way. Just in today's lesson, Philip is told, follow me, and he does. It's a simple call. It's a very clear call. Follow me. Nathanael, on the other hand, has to have God's omniscient knowledge shown about him. Jesus says, I saw you sitting under the tree. It took that for Nathanael to realize that he had been called. And Samuel, who's a young boy, maybe a teenager, he's the one who is called in the Old Testament reading, and he's just a young fellow, a young boy. So God calls us all differently in many different ways. God physically came to Samuel that day and made him a prophet. And God has also called each of us in different ways. We are all called in our baptism. In that baptism, God now dwells in your heart. In that baptism, you are made a child of God. In that baptism, your sins were forgiven, and you're able to have faith. In that baptism, you can now seek the gospel. Even when we close our ears, when we don't listen to his voice, even when we turn away and go the other direction, even when we chase after the ways of the world, God keeps calling us over and over. Again and again, he calls your name. He wants to talk to you. He wants to have a personal relationship with you. He continues to confirm his call every day in your life. God has called you. God has called me. And therefore, our reverent cry for today must be that of Samuel. Here I am, Lord. Speak, for your servant listens. Amen. Now may the peace of God that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.